here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And the server, that's a penalty.
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's still plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that, he hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free stake.
This is Late Hits. Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical RX. And by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton. Look in my eyes, what do you
see? This is the only live local one Kansas City Evening Sports Radio Show in Elmo, City of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton with you. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. On the HRP listener line, on the text line, on Twitter, at PCreighton1. Josh Vance on the other side of the glass at the Master Controls, at IMJChevy on the Twitter. On the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975. ESPN975.com. ESPN975 app. Tell Google, tell Alexa, play ESPN975. Take us with you everywhere you go. You know you want to. First and foremost, big thank you to University of Houston. Pam Keough, who is the Associate AD of Marketing at UH, they sent us all some really cool swag boxes. And I actually fit in the clothes this year, which is awesome. Really happy about that. Don't have to keep giving them to my kids where they look like tents. But appreciate folks over at UH supporting us as we support them as they go through another NCAA tournament, you know, trying to get to another Final Four and hopefully bring home a championship. And we'll get into some stuff on UH later on. We'll hear from Marcus Sasser later on as well. Get into everything with the Cougs. First things first, and that is I learned something new today listening to Jake and Brad. The term slugging apparently means something I never thought it meant before. I had no idea what it meant. I guess I'm not surprised that Brad Kellner does. But never heard the term slugging in this particular way. And I have heard of slugging drinks. But apparently, you know, thanks to Brad Kellner, he said, well, go to Urban Dictionary and take a look at what it means. So I did. I went to Urban Dictionary and I looked it up. And what's the first thing it says? It says, rubbing Vaseline all over your body and sliding around like a slug. What? What the hell? Who thinks of this crap? I can't believe that's a real thing. I mean, I've never even remotely heard of that before, and I've heard of some messed up stuff. I mean, I was on the six-year plan in college. I mean, I've heard it. If I haven't seen it or done it, I've definitely heard of it. But rubbing Vaseline all over your body to slide around on the floor like a slug. Going to say that's a new one. Never heard of that one before.
That makes the two of us.
I don't know why anybody would want to do that. You know, when I was a kid, it was always about trying to hide your carpet burn. I don't know what you'd be doing, because that seems like a solo endeavor. And why the hell would you want to do anything that stupid? And it's only you being stupid. Like, shouldn't you have some compadres doing stupid things with you? You know, it's like we're going streaking, not I'm going streaking. You know, there's always other people in the group there to help you have an excuse for, yeah, we were just drunk and dumb. It's just you. That's the kind of thing that gets you locked up in a round rubber room. They tell you to go stand on the corner. Yeah. I don't know what's worse, the fact that that exists or the fact that BK knew it existed. You know what? I'm going to get down a very dark rabbit hole here that I don't want to get down because that's scary. And I want to stay in a happy frame of mind, a positive frame of mind, because you know what? I know it's spring training, and realistically, I don't get high or low over guys spring training. And like I said, until we get to between the 20th and the 23rd, I'm not really paying attention to anybody's particular numbers with a whole lot of seriousness. Unless, you know, a pitcher has velocity is way down, or a guy is hurt, or is coming back from injury, and therefore he looks really slow, or, you know, whatever. But just generally speaking, I don't care about generic spring training stats until we get to like that last week, 10 days before the start of the season, as we're looking for guys to, you know, ramp up and okay, let's get ready for the season. But then there's this other part of my life, which is I hate the freaking Braves. There is no team in baseball that I hate more than the stupid Braves. If the Braves went 0-162 every year, they'd win too many games. I hate the freaking Braves. And I understand that there is some PTSD from me growing up a Mets fan, why I would hate the Braves, but I hate the damn Braves. And if you're from Houston, you probably hate the damn Braves too, because 90s, 2000s, 2021, and you have lots of reasons to hate the stupid Braves also. So every time the Braves lose, like, somebody gets a puppy. And today, the Astros kick the snot out of the Braves. Now, great, it's just a spring training game, man. Who cares? There's a little more to the story than that. If we want to peel the onion back just a little bit. Today, the Astros started literally nobody who will be coming west for opening day. They brought literally nobody to this game. The pitching staff, if everyone who pitched today, the only pitcher that is on the 40-man is Ronel Blanco, and he pitched a third of an inning. Remember they were talking about, oh, we're going to stretch him out. We're going to maybe we'll get him throwing a little longer. Maybe we'll toy around with the idea of starting. He threw a third of an inning. That being said, the Braves started Ozzie Albies, Matt Olson, Austin Riley, Sean Murphy, Michael Harris the second, Kevin Pr. That's like almost their whole starting lineup. Spencer Strider started the game for them. He's one of their best pitchers. Kirby Yates is the guy who kind of got tagged around a bit. But the Braves started almost their full starting lineup. And the cast of nobodies that the Astros played today, guys who, some of whom will be at Sugar Land, some of whom will be at Corpus, some of whom will be looking for new organizations in about 15 days. Not one single position player who is going to be on the Astros opening day. Maybe one guy who's even on the 40-man. Bly Madris was 2-for-5 today. He struck out the other three times he was up, but he was 2-for-5 today. Like, it was a cast of nobodies who beat the Braves 9-3. And again, I know it's spring training. I know it doesn't matter. I know none of the people who played today for the Astros are going to be on the opening day roster. But they beat the Braves. And yes, I am that petty when it comes to Braves. I'm that petty. And I love that all these nobodies beat like two-thirds of the Braves starting lineup and a starting pitcher. Like one of their best starting pitchers. Love it! Anytime we can kick Atlanta when they're down, we should kick them as hard as we can. Be beating the Braves brings joy to my heart. And it doesn't even matter who beats the Braves. Anytime the Braves lose, like I said, somebody gets a puppy. And we have to save the puppies. It's important. Every kid deserves a puppy. And, you know, if that takes the Braves losing an awful lot to get all those kids puppies, then they should just lose. And I'd be okay with that. This is exactly how the world should work. Because Atlanta is evil. The Braves are evil. They are the spawns of Satan. And it doesn't matter what year it is, who's on the team. They are the spawns of Satan. And they can only be saved when they get out of that evil jersey. So it was a beautiful day today in Major League Baseball because the Astros won and the Braves lost. It was even more beautiful because the Astros beat the Braves. And it was absolutely glorious because a bunch of Astros nobodies beat the Braves starters. You know, that's kind of like the nerdy kid who gets to, score with the prom queen. We scored today. We scored today, Astros fans. We all scored with the prom queen. Now, go take a picture of that big giant smile on your face. And when you're finished realizing that, oh, you don't have to wash that smile off your face. You can just wear it all day long. Well, we'll come back and we'll talk about teams that maybe are lined up for more success, teams that maybe are lined up for less success, and we will get into the entire Astros potential TV debacle next.
You are listening to...
Hey! Yeah, you! You better be listening to ESPN 97.5. And don't you dare turn that down.
ESPN 97.5. This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, and by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
So here's some crazy stuff, right? I didn't actually get to see the Astros game today. I had to do other work-related issues. But apparently, Renault Blanco did not pitch in today's game. Jacob DeLabio pitched in the game, but wore Renault Blanco's number. And therefore, all the stat tracking systems could not edit. And it all comes up as Renault Blanco. He's going to start tomorrow against the Cardinals. He's going to start. Can he go four innings? Could he go four innings? I think three might be as far as he goes, but we'll see. But I think it's funny. They don't have the capability to edit in the stat system of, okay, not Renault Blanco. Nope, cannot edit. That's high quality. Way to go there, MLB. That's some
high quality H2O, man.
Now, every year around this time, you always start to see, quote, national insiders start putting out, you know, what teams are going to be better than last year, what teams are going to be worse than last year. And on basically every list, you're going to see the Houston Astros team that should be worse than last year. Understand that that's based on this theory. You won 106 games last year. Chances that you're going to win more than 106 games in any given year are not that high. So, therefore, Astros will regress. Not that they won't finish in first place. Not that they won't win the AL West. Not that they won't even, you know, win the American League or go to the World Series. Just that they won't win 106 games. That's the whole premise of these, you know, progression, regression things. So every time you see the Astros listed as team to regress, don't lose your mind. This isn't, oh, they're just picking on the Astros because, you know, orange team bad. It's not actually that for once. I mean, orange team bad is a real thing, But in this particular case, it's not about orange team bad. It's about, look, in the history of baseball, there's not a whole lot of teams that win 106 games and then win more games the next year. So that is the whole purpose of, oh, well, the Astros are going to regress. I mean, the Astros are still projected to win 95 games, which is probably the second highest projection. Here's one of my favorite parts about this, though. And that is who some of the other teams are and some of the wacky reasonings that they put in behind why said team will be worse. So one of the teams that's considered to be a team that will regress from last year is the Seattle Mariners. Now, the Mariners have gotten a little better. And even though they've won 90 games 2 years in a row, and went from, you know, we won 90 games but had a negative 51 run differential to, well, they won 90 games and had a positive 67 run differential. I mean, they were better last year than the year before, even though they had the same number of wins. But the overriding theory on why they should be, potentially they could be worse this year than last year. Number one, they have an extremely good record in one-run games, something that historically is not sustainable. So they were 34-22 in one-run games last season. They were 11-5 in extras. Those are really high numbers. And it's two-thirds. They had a 67% winning percentage in one-run games and extras. And that is not sustainable. Not under any, in any universe. It is not sustainable. Also, they won't get to play the Rangers and the A's as much this year. Two teams they went 25-13 against last year. Then they get into the pitching. Number one, the Mariners didn't lose any starts to injury last year. Chances of having five guys take the ball every fifth day are like nil. You know, we talked about how fortunate the Astros were last year, right? They didn't have Lance McCullers Jr., but the guys who they did have, they took the ball. Jake Odorizzi was really the only guy who had missed any time before Lance came back. And then Verlander missed a couple of starts late in the season. But for the most part, the Astros were the only team to have five starters make 25 or more starts. They were the only team in baseball. The Mariners were right there. They had a couple of guys back 23, 24. They were one of the healthiest teams in the starting rotation all year long. And basically four of their five starters outperformed their FIP significantly, which is usually an indicator that there is going to be a regression to the mean. So there's a lot of different things that go on and say, all right, well, the Mariners might not be, might not win as many games as they did a year ago. I still think the Mariners are probably an 87-90 win team. I don't know if they can maintain that. To me, the biggest issue is the one-run game thing. But I still think they're the second-best team in the division. And they'll be pretty good. The Astros won 106 games. They're projected to win 95. I'm going to take the over. Until the Astros prove me wrong, I've taken the over on them every year. Until they prove me wrong, I'm going to take the over. Of course, I didn't bet on the COVID season because it was a 60-game season, so the lines are kind of janky. But pretty much every year since 2016, over. Yeah, I'm going to take the over again. Now, maybe the Astros win 101 games. Well, they regressed by five games. 101 wins is probably still the best record in the American League. On this list, The South Bronx Slumlords, also known as the New York Yankees. They don't have a big drop though. Here's a crazy thing to me. Yankees won 99 games last year. They're projected to win 97. I'm trying to figure out where the Yankees made all these giant moves to get a lot better. I know they brought back Aaron Judge to stay the same. They brought back Anthony Rizzo to stay the same. They did bring in Carlos Rodon, who's already hurt. Frankie Montas was hurt last year when they got him, and he's going to miss the first half of the season. Lou Trevino's hurt. Tommy Conley's hurt. Harrison Bader's hurt. Explain to me how this... the Yankees, they're just going to have the highest win projection. Why do the Yankees have the highest win projection? Did I miss a memo that says that they're suddenly going to beat the Astros for unknown reasons? Or that the Blue Jays are going to be worse, so the O's are going to be worse? Or that somehow Josh Donaldson, now 37 years old, is going to be better? Or, you know, Giancarlo Stanton will remember how to play the field? I feel like 97 wins is very high for the New York Yankees. And I'm going to take the under. Same as last year, when they were projected to win over 100 games, and I took the under. Taking the under on the Yankees. Now, who might be better in the American League? Well, there's a handful of teams, and some of them you're not going to like because, let's say one of them is in the Astros division. Actually, two of them are in the Astros division. And even though you might not like it, you might find it amusing. Because these two teams are always talked about as, oh, they're finally going to get better, they're finally going to get better. But then, you know, there's this thing called reality that happens. And they don't ever actually get all that much better. In fact, sometimes they get a whole lot worse. We'll get into those on the other side. But first, gotta tell you about our friends at MyBookie. You know, March Madness officially begins tomorrow. Because I gotta tell you, I don't consider the first four to be a real part of the tournament. To me, it's when the Field of 64 begins. That's when the tournament starts, and that is tomorrow. But you have a chance to take advantage of the madness and make it make you money with MyBookie. You know, it's a great time of year to get signed up. And you put your wagers in on the NCAA tournament. You can put in your brackets, make some money, and it's easy. You just go to MyBookie. Use promo code ESPN975. You get a bonus up to $1,000. They're going to match 50% of your first deposit up to $1,000. So get your extra funds now. That's free money in your account. And do it now and you get a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest. And you get a shot at the big bucks. You like to fill out multiple brackets? No big deal. Entry price is less than an Uber. It gives you a shot at some serious, serious coin. So when you're looking for an online place to bet, you want someplace that makes it easy to bet and easy to win, like MyBookie. So go to MyBookie.ag, use promo code ESPN975 for the ultimate sports betting experience. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere, MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
You're listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical Rx, and by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. And right now, Patrick is on the listener line. I am Patrick. You are Patrick. We are both on Late Hits.
Yes, sir. My initials are actually PC as well. So,
you must
PC
be a wonderful
fan.
You must be a wonderful person then.
Well, my birthday is on St. Patty's Day. I don't know if you have me beat there, but listen, man, I love your baseball takes. I'm wondering kind of where the line is for you between respect and hate. Like, you know, I reserve my hatred for the Yankees, the Dodgers, the, you know, hypocritical Red Sox right now. I don't hate the Braves. I respect how that organization has ran. The Cardinals, for example, as much as I hated losing to them all those years, I respected how the organization ran, you know, with the exception of them hacking into our stuff and deleting the left-handed pitcher column. I'm wondering where that line is for you and how that works. And then if the odds work out, side question, if the odds work out kind of the way they're supposed to, and it's Mets Astros this year, who are you rooting for?
Well, I'll tell you what, the line on brutal hate versus sports hate generally is not that thin a line. Usually it's all sports hate. Tell you a story about my time in Atlanta. I used to host a morning show in Atlanta with a buddy of mine who now works in another market on the East Coast. And he's a, you know, huge Braves honk. And, you know, me being a Met fan, I hated the Braves, really hated Chipper Jones. Hated Chipper Jones with a passion. Chipper Jones, I swear that guy could roll out of the bar, skunk drunk, put on his underwear on his head, step in the batter's box, hit a three-run homer off the Mets. It just didn't matter. Chipper Jones just killed the damn Mets. And then he named his kid Shea. Like, just bleep you, Chipper Jones. So I had, you know, gone on like my whole sports hate thing of why I hate Chipper Jones. And it got back to Chipper before the game that night, but they thought it was my co-host. And, you know, they're like, so what did you think of this guy, you know, who said, you know, all this stuff about you? And he's like, what? Who's this pencil neck geek? I'll break him in half. And he thought it was my partner, and he's a big Braves fan and big, you know, Chipper Jones fan. The next day he comes in and he's like, why does Chipper Jones want to kill me? I don't understand. The producer and I are just laughing hysterically. We didn't tell him for like a week. So we reached out to the Braves and had Chipper call in and tell him he was going to kill him and all that. And he was in on it, so it was kind of cool. I gained a lot of respect for Chipper at that time, but it was cool as hell, and it was funny. But, yeah, for the most part, it's sports hate. It's not like I want your family to burn in fire. It's sports hate. You know.
Well, no, of course. For me, it was just like I had – there's organizations I respect, whether they're good or not, and there's ones like the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Dodgers who I just can't friggin' stand.
Yeah, it's still sports hate for me. I mean, to get to next-level hate, you got to be like Trevor Bauer. You know, you've got to be just a really despicable human being to get to
Cody Bellinger.
Maybe, but, you know, but just like, well, for Trevor level. Bauer, for a guy who – you know, basically assaults women and is proud of it. Like, that kind of person, I think, deserves true hate. But for the most part, everything is sports hate. Like, I don't – no sporting event is worth you going into, like, legitimate real hate. Like, it's never that serious. But yeah, it's the sports part of it. It's the sports hate. You know what?
I
sports hate Michael Jordan with a passion because – Michael Jordan beat the Knicks every year. Even when it was supposed to be the Knicks year, even when the Knicks were up 2-0 in the 93 Eastern Conference Finals and beating at it, nope. Michael always comes back, and the Knicks always freaking lost. I kind of have a love-hate relationship with Patrick Ewing as a player because I grew up loving Ewing, but nobody had more player failures than Patrick Ewing. If you wanted the Knicks to lose, all you needed was Patrick Ewing to guarantee a win. If he guaranteed a win, they lost. Every damn time. He was the anti-Mark Messier. And so yeah, it's sports hate. It's all the things that, you know, sports is supposed to be fun, and then they take the fun out of it by not coming through. So yeah, it's sports hate. Now, as far as, you know, am I going to root for the Mets or am I going to root for the Astros? I'm going to root for 7 games of amazing baseball, and I'm probably going to buy swag from both teams.
Fair enough.
It's really hard to say what I lean one way or the other because, honestly, I've been covering the Astros now for 10 years, almost on a daily basis. And I am, emotionally vested in the Astros at this point. I was in the building the night they called George Springer up when nobody was in the damn building. You know, they announced it, I don't know, after the game had ended, press box was mostly empty. And we'd already been down for interviews and come back up. And I'm writing a story, and they announced, all right, they're calling up George Springer. There was nobody in the building compared to you know, what you see now, and the Astros being the hottest property in town. So, you know, I'm kind of vested in the Astros. And obviously, as much as I love the Mets, I grew up with the Mets. You know, I've been a Met fan since I was 7. I don't follow the Mets as closely as I used to because I'm on the Astros on a daily basis. I kind of peek in on the Mets every day, but I'm not all in on the Mets the way that I used to be. So I'd probably be more upset if the Astros lost because I'm more invested in the Astros. I live here in Houston. I've already converted my family into Astros fans. So, yeah, we'd probably be more upset if the Astros lost. And I feel crazy even thinking this. But if we're being honest, I'd probably lean Astros because after 10 years, I'm kind of more vested in the Astros now. I mean, I love seeing the Mets win. I love seeing the Mets have an owner that can flip the bird to the Yankees because flipping the bird to the Yankees is awesome. Being a Met fan is pain. It's pain. The only championship the Mets have ever won, I wasn't old enough to be allowed to watch the games. I was in, let's see. I was in 8th grade? 86? Fall of 86. I was in 8th grade. And my parents were strict. I had an 8:30 bedtime. I didn't get to watch the games. When I was a kid, I worked in my grandfather's upholstery shop. And one of the first things that I had to do was, you know, go clean out the back room, go to, you know, all the menial, you know, menial tasks. Go carry this, go carry that type stuff. I found an old transistor radio that was shaped as a beer bottle. And it didn't work, you know, but I had some tools at home, a little soldering kit, and I was able to put it back together and make it work. So I used to, you know, a little battery operated transistor radio shaped like a beer bottle, tune it in. Back then the Mets were on 1050 AM, which had one of the worst, transmitters. It was an AM. So it would sound like this was going to, it would come up like, and it was just the whole, everything was an up and down loop where, 2 seconds high, 2 seconds flat. It was just like that the whole time. It was misery trying to listen to that damn station. And I would put the bottle under my pillow and listen to the game because I didn't want to get caught because then, you know, my father would take it away from me and I'd be grounded for 6 months, probably catch 5 whoopings. Wasn't a fan of getting whoopings, by the way. Just, you know, like every other kid, not a fan of getting whoopings. So listen to the game and, like you know, then something good would happen for the Mets. But yes. And then, oh, crap, I be quiet. I pretend I'm asleep, and I roll over and act like I'm dead. 2 seconds later, the door opens, check on me, and I'm like, couldn't get caught, man. Couldn't get caught. So, like, I had to listen to the games on the radio. So, you know, all my friends, you know, they go to school and they're talking about, hey, I saw this, I saw that. I'm like, yeah, I heard this happen. Like, what do you mean you heard it? Well, I was listening on the radio. Dude, who listens on the radio? I do. Well, why weren't you watching the game? My parents wouldn't let me. Loser! Yeah. Yeah, that was eighth grade. Probably gotten 3 fights because of that. I hate school. I hate kids. I love my own kids. I just don't like anybody else's kids. Other people's kids are annoying. Usually how that comes across. Oh, you know what I love about your kids? I get to give them back. Here, you know what? Let me give your kids something that makes a lot of noise or that has a lot of sugar. And then here you go. Enjoy the night. Now that works. All right, we'll get into teams that people think might be better than they were a year ago. A couple of them happen to be the Astros division. Get to it next.
ESPN 97.5.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, and by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
So, told you all the teams that the national guys think are going to regress. Here are the teams that they think are going to be better. One of them is the Minnesota Twins, who were 78-84 last year. So not that far in. Here's the crazy thing, right? The projection for the Twins is 87-75.
Seems a little high.
Now, I get they were a good team in 2019. They were pretty good in 2020. Then they fell back. Last year, they got off to an okay start and then faded late. They brought back Carlos Correa. They brought in Pablo Lopez. They gave away Luis Arias to get him. They're bringing in Joey Gallo, who in his last 184 games is batting a robust 160. That's impressive that he still has a major league job. Good outfielder, good glove, good arm, a lot of power. 160? Are you kidding me? How the hell do you justify putting that guy in a lineup? I don't know how the hell the Astros justify putting Martin Maldonado in the lineup. It's 178. Joey Gallo's a freaking outfielder. It's 160. He doesn't hit Altuve's weight. And Altuve's literally 5'4". But the idea being, hey, you know what? They should win more games just because, you know, there's a whole bunch of numbers and metrics that say, well, you know, they should probably win more games than they did last year. There's a 64% chance they'll win more games than they did last year. And I don't know. You get a healthy Kenton Maeda. Yeah, can Byron Buxton play more than 120 games?
Ever.
It'd probably help. The Twins were crushed for, oh, you got to pay this guy, you got to pay this guy, you pay this guy. He's never healthy. He's a trick player. He's never healthy. But I do think the Twins will be better than 78-84. I just don't know that they're much more than a 500 team. How about the Arlington Junk Grabbers? also known as the Texas Rangers. They were a stellar 68-94 last year. And that winning tradition, of course, is why Jacob deGrom told the media he wanted to go to the Texas Rangers because he wanted to win. He left the team owned by the richest man in baseball, who spends like a drunken sailor on shore leave, to go to the Rangers, who also spend like drunken sailors on shore leave, but don't win. Mets had like, what, 99 wins last year, 100 wins last year, and the Rangers had 68. I mean, it makes sense on every level that the Rangers are going to win more games than the Mets, right? Only to Jacob deGrom, who also missed like more than half the season last year. So we look at the Rangers, and last year, yeah, they signed John Gray last year. And they signed Corey Seager last year, and they signed Marcus Semien last year. And people are like, oh, the Rangers, they're going to the playoffs. They won 68 games. So this year they signed Jacob deGrom, and they signed Nathan Eovaldi, and they signed Andrew Heaney. Well, deGrom's always hurt. He's maybe the most unhittable pitcher when he's healthy, but maybe half the season? Eovaldi's up and down. He's always hurt and is never consistent. And Haney's like, okay, maybe, with the chance to not be okay. And remember how we talked about the Mariners. The Mariners with this like super winning record in one-run games and in overtime games, and how they won two-thirds of their games that were one-run games. Well, the Junk Grabbers were 15-35 in one-run games. Now, usually when you suck in one-run games, you have bullpen issues. All those guys at the Rangers signed, any of those guys bullpen guys? No? Well, I know they brought in Bruce Bochy to be the manager, but Bruce Bochy doesn't pitch. They definitely need to win more one-run games, which would mean striking out less late in games, playing better defense, getting better pitching late. They're projected to get 79 wins. That's 11 more wins than last year, but still under 500. But here's a national guy talking about, well, you could see a path to the playoffs. In the American League, you're going to need at least 88 wins to have a shot at the last wild card. You're talking about a 20-win improvement? Good freaking luck. I think the Rangers will be a little better. But I don't even think they win 80 games. It's like a 75-win team. And it might be hard to get to 75 wins because they're not going to get to beat up on the A's 17 times. So all this loving up on the Arlington Junk Grabbers, not feeling it. Then, of course, the team that's number one on everybody's list for jumping up, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim of California of the United States of America. Last year, they were 73-89. This year, projected to be 86-76. Now, the Halos, last time they finished last in the division was 1999. Well, they don't have to worry about that because the Oakland A's will be very happy to come in last place this year. They're going to have a top 10 payroll. Mike Trout is going to play 112 games. Maybe. Maybe. Anthony Rendon, over under 90 games? I don't know. Have a hard time not taking the under on that. They added Tyler Anderson, who pitched really well for the Dodgers last year. But that was for the Dodgers. Gio Urshela, okay player. Hunter Renfro, okay player. Brandon Drury, okay player. These are depth moves. If all these guys are starters every game, you don't win any 6 games. They got a young core. You know, Patrick Sandoval and Jose Suarez and Reed Detmers. You know, they're all going into their age 26 season. Well, that's great, but none of those guys are all that good. They're okay. Luis Renjifo is 26. He had 17 home runs. Ooh, he had 17 home runs. He had a 294 on base. That's clown show stuff. If you have a 294 on base, you better hit 25 homers and win the Gold Glove and be a rookie. I think Josh just caught on to that reference. You know, oh, and by the way, Shohei Ohtani entering his last year in purgatory. I mean, with the Angels. Because he is going to be a free agent at the end of the year. And he is going to get just the buku bucks. And he's not going to get them in purgatory. He is not going to stay on a team that can't freaking win. Because you know what? The Dodgers and the Mets and the Yankees, probably the Red Sox, are going to back up a damn Brinks truck for him. Maybe the Cubs are going to back up a damn Brinks truck for him. If I'm Jim Crane, I'm backing up 2 Brinks trucks for him. There is no amount of money that you can pay Shohei Ohtani that he doesn't bring back to your team plus. You pay him $50 million, he's worth more. You don't have to pay him $60 million, but if you did, he's still worth more. That's the kind of revenue he will bring into your team. But yeah, the Angels winning 86 games? Stop it. They're not going to be 13 games better than they were a year ago. Because Rendon's not going to play that much. Mike Trout's going to get hurt because he always does. And the Angels are going to do what the Angels always do. Disappoint. And this season's going to be over before the All-Star break. Seems like that train's just never late. All right, coming up next. Are you going to be able to watch the Astros on TV this year? I'll tell you next.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.